Part 10, Chapter 7. With dawn making a faint, pale line in the east, Johnny looked down into the abyss. The pure white lode showed not the slightest trace of gold. It was in plain sight. When the recon drone came over, Turl would have a picture of this. Far, far below, as yet invisible in the darkness, a new fall of rock would tell the story. Johnny tried to guess Turl's reaction. It was difficult to do so, for Turl was undoubtedly over his own edge into madness. How many hours did Johnny have until the drone? Not many. The air was unaccountably still. The morning wind had not started up. The dawn light was reflected back from the surrounding majestic peaks. Johnny ran over to a flying platform and gestured to a pilot to join him. He lifted it up, put it over the edge of the chasm, and dropped it like a rocket to the bottom. He braked it and hovered. Turning on the beam lights of the platform, he examined the mass of fallen rock. Some of it had gone through the river ice. Some of it made a new bank for the stream. He played the light through the debris. It was an enormous mass. Hopefully, he looked for some slightest whiteness that would indicate a piece of the lode. None. A ton of gold, perhaps. But now it was buried under a mountain of rockfall, possibly even plunged into the river bottom. The debris was so peaked and broken, one couldn't even land on it. He tossed around the idea of clearing a flat place, but it would take hours, and the winds would be here soon. He had to face it. The gold was gone. The morning wind was beginning to blow now. He couldn't stay down here and live to tell about it. If he had another short period of morning quiet, he might do something, but they'd used up their time. He sent the flying platform screaming up to the clifftop. It was already being buffeted by turbulent air. He landed. He told Robert the Fox,
"Get these men back to the town!"
Johnny walked back and forth. The parson looked at him in sympathy.
"We aren't done yet, laddie,"
said the parson. The whole group looked to be in the shock of disappointment. Robert the Fox was looking at Johnny. They were loading the saved crew, and two pilots were at the controls of the plane. Donaldine was being eased gently aboard.
"I'm going to do it,"
said Johnny suddenly. Robert the Fox and the parson walked over.
"Turl doesn't know how close that drift was to the inside of the lode. He doesn't know that we hadn't already mined the back of it. If he sees that white quartz out there, he'll know we didn't get to it before the slide. Thor!"
he shouted.
"How close were you to the fissure?"
Thor asked the shift leader, and they did some calculations.
"About 5 feet!"
Thor finally shouted from the plane.
"I'll blow it in! It doesn't matter now if we blast! I'm going to blow the last end of the drift so it looks like it was through! Take that plane back fast and get me explosives and a shot holer gun!"
He rattled off the exact explosives needed, and the plane with the salvaged crew vibrated, ready to take off.
"And bring in the next shift! We've very little time till the recon drone passover! Fly fast!"
It was daylight now, and they could. The plane roared off the pad. Johnny didn't wait for it to get back before he started to work. He went down the shaft, carrying some tools, got out of the bucket at the bottom, and made his way over the rubble and into the drift. The crew's equipment was still lying about. The lamps were still on. Johnny picked up a drill and began to make 6-inch-deep holes all around the extreme edges of the white quartz. Two Scots picked up other drills and began to help him when they saw what he was doing. He was putting in shot holes. While he worked, he had others of the rescue team clear the remaining equipment out of the drift and take it above. No reason to waste that. Only the shift radio had been smashed in the rockfall. This drift would never be used again, and it might well blow to bits. He was surprised the plane came back so fast. He was in radio contact with the surface, and he told them what he wanted down there. Very shortly, the explosives arrived. He put powerful, molding explosive into each one of the shot holes. Then on top of that, he put a giant concussion-fired blasting cap. On top of all that, he packed neutral goo. It was rigged so it would blow outward, toward the cliff face. He went back up to the surface, talking on the radio as he was hoisted aloft. They had a harness and cable rigged, and he went out to the cliff edge, shrugging into the harness. He ignored Robert the Fox's request that somebody else do it. They had not used explosives that much, and Johnny knew them well. Using a winch and safety wires, they lowered him over the edge. He found it very easy to go down the cliff face now that it was slightly inclined. He signaled when he was opposite the load, and they halted the lowering winch. Bouncing himself about with his moccasins against the cliff, he looked for the pinhole. From inside, he had put a very thin drill all the way through to the outside. There was the tiny hole. It marked the top center of the inside ring of shot holes. The shot holer gun bounced down to him. This was the dicey part. The gun might set off the inside blast with concussion, and if it did, he'd be blown off the cliff by the explosion. But he had no time to just drill. He made a plated cable of blasting cord. With the shot holder set at minimum power, he made holes for pins in the load. Getting himself adjusted up and down by the winch, and with 1,000 feet of chasm gaping below him, he wound the blasting cord through the pins. Presently, he had a big circle on the vane. He fixed an electric firing wire to the cord and let it pay out as they reeled him up. He was pressed for time. It would be at most 30 minutes before the recon drone came over, and the smoke must be cleared. The firing wire was run to the plane. He made everyone, including himself, get into the plane in case more cliff went.
Stand by!
He shouted. He pressed the firing button. Smoke and flame flashed on the cliff face. White quartz and country rock blasted toward the other wall of the canyon. The ground shook. No more cliff fell. Johnny took the plane up and into the height and position the recon drone would be. They had a black hole in the cliffside. It looked like the drift had reached the load. They landed again to look busy with equipment. The smoke of the blast dissipated in the mountain air. The rumble of the drone grew louder in the distance.